The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more, or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner. Time for the Local Government News Roundup. Coming up today, a council CEO resigns to take up a state government post. New aged care providers appointed at a rural Victorian council. Councils make progress on textile recovery and digital transformation, but there's been a setback on blue-green algae control. A Sydney councillor under internal investigation for allegations of drunken behaviour. Councils challenge the government on traffic plans and planning changes. A Hobart councillor suspended, but no one is saying why. A sacked councillor reinstated and new funding announced for troubled UK councils. All coming up on today's roundup. I'm Chris Eddy. This is the January 26 edition of the Local Government News Roundup. It's episode number 298, brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service. To Victoria, firstly, and Moyneshire CEO Brett Davis has resigned to take up a role with the state government as Victoria's new cross-border commissioner. Mayor Councillor Ian Smith said he'd reluctantly accepted Mr. Davis's resignation and wished him well for his future endeavours. Mr. Davis was promoted to the position from a director role at Moyne in June 2022, following the retirement of former CEO Bill Millard. Mayor Smith said he expected an interim appointment to be made next week, with further announcements about a recruitment process to follow. Mr. Davis is taking over as cross-border commissioner from Luke Wilson, who is completing a 5-year term in the role. Nominations for the Greater Dandenong City Council Yarraman Ward by-election open next week with a $250 fee required. Candidates must make an appointment to submit their nomination form in person during business hours. The election office will open weekdays from January the 31st to March the 8th, and nominations close at noon on February the 6th. The by-election was triggered by the election of former Mayor Eden Foster to State Parliament. Central Goldfields Shire Council has appointed new in-home aged and community-based service providers, transitioning away from delivering these services directly from the 1st of March. The decision was made in response to the Commonwealth Government's new model of care, the In-Home Support Program. The new providers, including Interreach, Maryborough District Health Service, Mequacare and Uniting Age Well, will offer services such as domestic assistance, personal care, meals on wheels, home maintenance and social support programs. The council says it's committed to ensuring a seamless transition for the approximately 630 clients affected by the change. The Victorian Pride Lobby is urging Golden Plains Shire to increase its support for the local queer community by establishing an LGBTIQA+ advisory committee. Rainbow Local Government co-lead Sean Mulcahy believes the committee is a crucial step for queer inclusion in the municipality, ensuring the voices of the LGBTIQA+ community are heard. Mulcahy plans to present a petition for the cause to an upcoming council meeting and is optimistic about its reception. In a report from the Golden Plain Times, a council spokesperson said the Shire is keen to broaden its support for the queer community. In its first month of operation, Strathbogie Council's textile recovery boxes have diverted 1,849 kilograms of textiles from landfill. The boxes, located at various transfer stations, allow residents to drop off unwanted items for free. The majority of the contributions came from the Violet Town community. The collected textiles are sorted into over 500 categories, with priority given to reusing items. If repairable, items are refurbished and returned to local shops. The second priority is upcycling, where garments are deconstructed and their parts reused. An 18-month trial using ultrasonic equipment to control blue-green algae in Lake Bullenmerri has been deemed ineffective, according to Corangamite Shire Council. The process did not significantly change algae densities or disrupt the dominant cyanobacteria species. The technology did not remove nutrients from the lake, a key factor contributing to algae blooms. A report on the trial found that any future trials would require optimised technology and a better understanding of nutrient cycles in the lake to be considered. Bulbour Shire Council has transitioned to 100% renewable energy for all its major electricity contracts, resulting in savings of over $50,000 in the 2022-23 financial year. The move is part of the Victorian Energy Collaboration, the largest emissions reduction project by the local government sector in the country, and it aligns with the Council's environmental sustainability strategy. The savings will be reinvested into new sustainability projects. And the City of Casey in Melbourne has completed the first phase of its digital transformation with Technology One, transitioning from on-premise IT infrastructure to software as a service. The move is part of the city's transformation strategy to modernise operations and enhance customer experience. The transition will provide staff, residents and visitors with high-level security and reliability. The next phase of the project will involve a greenfield re-implementation of the full One Council ERP solution into CIA, providing a fully interconnected solution accessible on any device. Heading interstate now with the national roundup, and former Waverley Mayor Sally Betts is under internal council investigation following accusations of drunken and offensive behaviour by colleague Leon Goltzman. The Sydney Morning Herald has reported that Councillor Goltzman allegates Betts' behaviour was unacceptable after an extraordinary council meeting. He's called on her to step down as leader of the Liberals on the council. Betts has strongly denied the allegations, describing them as unfounded and indicative of Goltzman's misguided behaviour. The allegations are currently being considered by the Liberal Party, but no formal investigation of Betts' conduct is currently underway from the party. North Sydney Council is urging the New South Wales Government to review the Western Harbour Tunnel project due to concerns about traffic congestion similar to the Rozelle Interchange. The Mossman Daily reported that Mayor Zoe Baker has warned of outdated traffic modelling and similar pinch points that could lead to increased congestion. The NRMA is suggesting a toll-free period and clear signage to prevent panic and bypassing. The tunnel is set to be completed in 2028 and is expected to reduce traffic on the Sydney Harbour Bridge by 17% and save drivers up to 20 minutes between North Sydney and Sydney Olympic Park. Blue Mountain City Council is opposing proposed planning amendments that would significantly increase building heights and densities, posing a risk to residents and the World Heritage environment due to the region's high bushfire risk. The changes proposed by the state government would permit building heights up to 21 metres in all town and village centres. The council argues these changes disregard local planning controls and increase bushfire risks, and it's calling for real solutions to the housing crisis, such as taxation and regulation of Airbnbs. Internationally renowned American artist Barnard Newman's only sculpture in Australia, Broken Obelisk, will be relocated from the National Gallery in Canberra to the Shoalhaven Regional Gallery. It will be displayed in the town centre of Nowra for the next 5 years as part of the Sharing the National Collection initiative. The initiative allows significant works of art to be placed in regional areas across Australia, enabling more audiences to connect with major artworks. In welcoming the work to Shoalhaven, Mayor Amanda Findlay said, it was an example of the power of art to inspire, unite and transform communities. Brett Stonestreet, General Manager of Griffith City Council, has had his contract renewed for another year, extending his term until the 21st of August 2025. Mr. Stonestreet aims to guide the Council's transition through the first year of the 2024-25 budget, manage the impact of the Water Amendment Act 2023, and provide the opportunity for the next Council to appoint a General Manager for a longer term, commencing in August of 2025. To Queensland and Townsville City Council has ceased all normal operations across its services, facilities and venues on Thursday and Friday of this week due to the expected impacts of Tropical Cyclone Kiralee. In its latest advice to residents this morning, the council said that Kiralee had passed and the threat had been reduced, but it's warned people to be careful of the dangers and damage caused, including looking out for downed power lines which can be hidden in fallen trees and debris. Gold Coast councillors have unanimously rejected a proposal to develop a defunct golf course into a housing estate, despite the ongoing housing crisis. ABC News reported the decision was influenced by widespread community opposition, concerns about wildlife, and the need to maintain green spaces. The proposed development would have resulted in the removal of significant vegetation and impacted native wildlife, including endangered koalas. The developers have indicated they may appeal the decision. Councillor Laurie Karansky, currently the Deputy Mayor of Logan City, has announced she'll not be contesting the 2024 local government election. Karansky, who has served since 2016, plans to spend more time with her family, travel and complete a Master's in Business Psychology. An independent consultant will review Cairns Regional Council's response to the December flooding event associated with ex-tropical cyclone Jasper. The review, using an after-action review methodology, will involve relevant stakeholders and focus on the effectiveness of operational, tactical and strategic activities. The debrief is expected to start early next month, with a final report available by late June. Ipswich City Council has received a $9 million funding boost from the state government to support the FOGO Waste Collection Program. The funding will aid in planning for a citywide FOGO rollout and help move FOGO waste to a provider offering enclosed organic waste processing. Hobart City Councillor Louise Elliott has been suspended for 1 month due to an adverse finding in a code of conduct complaint. The specifics of the complaint have not been disclosed. Elliott is known for her stance against transgender women being included in women's spaces and is expected to miss 2 council meetings during her suspension. She's appealed the decision, but the suspension has not been stayed, according to a report today from the Hobart Mercury. A King Island councillor removed from office for missing 3 consecutive council meetings has been re-elected unopposed in a by-election. The Mercury reports that Serena Laidler's council position was declared vacant when she missed the meetings due to her husband's health problems. Although her absence was for compassionate reasons, the Local Government Act required her removal from the council because she didn't submit a formal leave request. Regrettably, her husband passed away from a brain tumour around that time. Ms. Laidler has expressed relief and excitement about her win, viewing it as a morale boost during a difficult period. She plans to advocate for changes in the regulations, including the allowance of video conferencing for meetings and compassionate leave for councillors. There'll be an extraordinary postal election in WA's Shire of Ashburton in March. The election is needed to fill a vacancy in Tom Price Ward for a 3-year term after the resignation with immediate effect in November of Tina Miladinovic. The Shire has indicated that backfilling provisions were exhausted during the October elections, making an extraordinary election necessary. Tenterfield Shire Council in New South Wales is looking for its next general manager. The Shire is in the New England region, close to Brisbane and Byron Bay. Leading Roles is handling the recruitment, with applications due by the 11th of February. And applications are being called for the inaugural CEO of the Groot Archipelago in the East Arnhem region of Northern Australia. A $200,000 compensation package is offered, with applications to be received by Leading Roles by the 14th of February.
Now on the Local Government News Roundup. It's time for the international spotlight.
And there's quite a bit happening overseas to tell you about. UK councils have been given 6 months to produce new productivity plans for the government as part of the terms of additional funding that's been announced. They've also been warned to consider whether diversity programs are value for money, according to a report from the Local Government Chronicle. The Community Secretary, Michael Gove, confirmed that social care authorities will share an additional £500 million in 2024-25, with a further £100 million to be spent on increasing the Rural Services Delivery Grant and raising the funding guarantee to 4%. The core spending power of councils, including assumed maximum council tax increases, is expected to rise by £4.5 billion, equivalent to a 7.5% increase above inflation. The additional funding is intended for frontline services and not to be put aside for later use. An expert panel will be established to review the plans and advise the government on best practice in this area. The plans will be used to inform funding settlements in future years, and councils must produce them by the 23rd of July. Local Government Association Chair Councillor Sean Davies said the LGA welcomes the government action and recognition of the severe financial pressures facing councils. He said the LGA would continue to work with the government to achieve a sustainable long-term funding settlement and updated distribution mechanisms. Councillors at Brighton and Hove Council have been accused of abuse, bullying and harassment, according to a letter written by Councillor Sue Shanks, a Green member of the council. The letter is part of the agenda for the council's Audit and Standards Committee meeting to be held next week, and it highlights poor behaviour, including shouting, finger-pointing and personal remarks. Brighton and Hove News has reported that Shanks is calling for a review into the handling of complaints about behaviour by council members, including how meeting chairs can be empowered to intervene when incidents occur. Redbridge Council has delivered a blow to West Ham Football Club, cancelling plans to lease the Oakland playing fields to them for a new training facility. The backflip follows opposition from amateur club Biolonians FC and a petition signed by more than 11,000 people. The decision means Biolonians FC will remain at their current location, which they've used since 2004. That club has urged West Ham to recognise the disruption and uncertainty they've caused and reconsider their need for the site. In Canada, a government minister has ordered an independent inquiry into the conduct of a councillor who failed to comply with sanctions imposed or resigned from office within a deadline given to him. John Robertson displayed a controversial sign last year, leading to censure from the municipality and a finding that he had violated the councillor code of conduct. CTV News this week reported that Minister for Housing, Land and Communities, Rob Lance, cannot make a final determination without conducting an independent inquiry, regardless of the inquiry already conducted by the municipality. Two members of Mary Esther Council in Florida have resigned due to a new Florida state law requiring them to disclose personal finances in a document called Form 6. The law, which took effect on the 1st of January, requires City Council members to detail personal financial information, including bank account balances, 401k plans and other assets. Susan Coxwell and Janice Lipscomb have joined a growing list of councillors across the state giving up their positions as they don't believe they should have to disclose the level of personal financial information required. Non-compliance could result in removal or suspension from office and fines. Northwest Florida Daily News reported that the city is now seeking residents interested in filling the vacant positions, which are remunerated at $250 per month, soon to increase to $350. And Christchurch City Council has voted to consider a bid for a future Commonwealth Games, despite protests and concerns about potential financial and environmental impacts. The Otago Daily Times reported that a group of about 20 protesters crashed this week's council meeting, arguing that hosting the Games would be financially irresponsible and increase greenhouse emissions. Councillors opposing the bid raised concerns about potential rate rises and the timing of the decision. Mayor Phil Moyer, who originally recommended a bid be considered for the 2030 Games, has argued it could be a great opportunity for the city. And that's your roundup for the 26th of January 2024, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association and by Davidson. You can find links to the stories referenced in this episode, along with a full transcript, at lgnewsroundup.com. While you're there, check out the latest breaking news updates and learn how you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. There's a lot happening out there in local government land. I've got many more stories to bring you, and I'll be back with another edition very soon. Until then, thanks for listening, and bye for now. The Local Government News Roundup is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association. As Victorian councils go to elections later this year, the VLGA is ready to support communities and councils in good governance. A series of workshops has been designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils, and the role of a councillor. Registrations are being taken now for workshops in May on Standing for Local Government and Local Women Leading Change. And member councils should look out for the VLGA's 2024 Local Government Election Pre-Candidate Prospectus, available soon. Find out more about how the VLGA can support your council and community during this important time in the local government election cycle. Visit vlga.org.au.